I believe that our next item is agenda paper 5. Once more concession arrangements. Oh, sorry.
All right, thank you. We will move on to agenda paper 5 on how an operator accounts for payments it makes to a grantor in a service concession arrangement. In January, the committee published a tentative agenda decision, having concluded that addressing the accounting for variable payments when the intangible asset model applies was too broad for the committee to address, but that the requirements in IFRS standards are sufficient to address the accounting for other aspects of these payments that an operator is required to make. We received 4 comment letters in response to the tentative agenda decision. 3 respondents generally support the conclusions reached, but all have raised concerns about particular aspects of the agenda decision. The concerns that were raised by respondents, together with our analysis, is included in paragraph 8 to 38 of the agenda paper. I just want to highlight a couple of the issues. So, firstly, respondents had mixed views on whether the committee should develop a solution to address the accounting for variable payments in the intangible asset model without addressing the broader issue of variable payments for asset purchases. The views expressed by respondents were similar to those previously expressed by committee members on this issue. Given the mixed views and the absence of any new arguments, we support the committee's previous conclusion that addressing the operator's accounting for variable payments when the intangible asset model applies is too broad to be addressed by the committee. Secondly, 2 respondents also raised concerns about the references to the broader issue on accounting for variable payments. Those concerns are outlined in paragraph 18 and 19 of the agenda paper. We agree with those concerns and we recommend revising the wording to make it consistent with the wording of the agenda decision on the broader issue. We think our revised wording as outlined in Appendix A removes the inconsistencies referred to by these respondents. In addition, we have also received an informal comment from one committee member highlighting that the wording in the last sentence of paragraph C2 of the agenda decision, which for your reference is on page 12 of the agenda paper, could be read as implying that these payments, even when they are variable and when the intangible asset model applies, should be capitalized against the cost of the intangible asset. We acknowledge this concern and we are proposing to delete the last portion of this sentence, which is in brackets, so the portion of the sentence that says part of the cost of the intangible asset recognized applying IAS 38. So we will take out the last portion.
Okay, let's be sure we understand where we're.
Yes.
Because this is a change not in the paper.
This is a change not in the paper based on an informal comment we received after publishing.
Precisely where are we in the agenda decision?
So on page 12 of the agenda paper.
Okay.
It's paragraph 2.
Two little i's.
The very last part of that paragraph, which starts with the bracket, i.e. part of the cost of the intangible asset recognized. We would just delete that particular sentence because it could convey a wrong impression.
All right.
In addition, we had one additional suggestion as well that relates to the wording in the paragraph just before the paragraph that we were talking about, so that's little I. In there, the wording currently says that the grantor is no different from a customer, and the suggestion was that we just say the grantor is a customer, as opposed to saying the grantor is no different from a customer. So subject to those 2 changes that I just discussed, we would recommend finalizing the agenda decision. The proposed wording is laid out in Appendix A. And at this stage, I would stop and open it up for discussion to see if you agree with our recommendation and if you have any comments on the wording.
Comments? Anyone raise your hand if you have something to add, and then I'll go to the phones.
Carl speaking.
Yes, Carl.
I agree with staff's recommendation. I think it's about time to finalize.
Okay. Who else is on the phone other than Carl?
Mikhail.
Or Bertrand, either?
Yes, I agree with this author recommendation as well, and with the update the text there has.
Okay. Okay, Bob, I see your hand up.
Yes, 2 points on the agenda decision. One, I still have concerns over C in the agenda decision. C, three little I. This is more conceptual. I still believe that we're not providing a clear principle on how somebody would go about determining the different portions or which portion relates to a payment to a customer and which is for the intangible asset. But nobody else commented on that, so I understand I'm a minority on that. The second point, and this is just clarification I think we need to do in A and B. It refers to the contractual payment related to a separate good or service or right of use asset. And I think what we're really meaning is the associated payment with that rather than necessarily the contractual payment. For example, okay, what I'm meaning is there could be a payment that is significantly more than the fair value of the good, the separate good or service or the separate right of use asset. And I don't think we mean that you would then allocate the entire payment in that case to the good or service. It's just the portion that is for the value of that good or service. So I think we just need some edits in those two.
Okay, we take that on board. We're not sure the precise wording that we'll need to do accomplish that, but
I'll send in some a suggestion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Young-soo?
I just agree with the staff conclusion to finalize the agenda decision, but I have a very simple comment on the wording in the agenda decision. What I'm looking at is the second line from the bottom of page 13. It starts with the word, however, the interpretations committee determined that addressing how an operator accounts for variable payments, blah, blah, blah. And I think the sentence is kind of redundant to me. The same sentence is in the prior paragraph. So I'm not quite sure whether we really need the sentence.
I think just to explain some, Young-soo, I understand why you think it looks the same, but actually in the paragraph before, we're talking about the broader issue of variable payments for asset purchases. And then in that last paragraph, we're actually talking about this narrower issue of variable payments within service concession arrangements. So I think that's the reason just why we have it looks like it's mentioned twice, because we're actually referring to the sort of two different questions or issues that we were asked.
Okay. All right.
Do I see any other hand waving? Anybody else? All right, I've already been to the phones, Greg. In the room, Tony wants to talk to us.
So yeah, I'm comfortable with the amendment that Joy talked through, because that was something that we talked about. I guess just for the record, I continue to believe that we could be more helpful here and do something, since the operator in service concession is obliged to operate the assets. So some of the reasons that led us to conclude that variable payments for other asset purchases could not be addressed because it was too broad don't apply here. I recognize that I'm in a minority, but I think I would still have preferred to be more helpful. Assuming that we're going to go ahead with the agenda decision, I concur with the amendments that we've just talked through.
Okay. Andrew?
I think on the question of the service concession arrangement, one thing that I find a little bit difficult is that while you can argue that in service concession arrangement, the operator is obliged to operate that piece of equipment, I do feel that there may be circumstances outside service concessions where you have a rather similar fact pattern. And so I would just worry slightly about how far it would extend. Having said that, I'm one of those in the States before today who believes that variable payments could actually be addressed, but that battle was lost. So I think I'll just be quiet at that point and say that I would agree with the tentative agenda decision as presented.
Somebody wanting to come in on the phone?
Sure.
Other than that, John?
Generally I'm in agreement with what the staff have proposed. The only issue I have is on the wording. The second paragraph of the agenda decision, some amendments have been made to remove the reference to the operator maybe acting as an agent, and the replacement wording, it talks about in which the operator is collecting payments on behalf of and remitting them to the grantor. I don't think that wording, really what we're dealing with here is payments that are outside of the service concession. I don't think that wording, even though it's better than referring to the operator acting as an agent, I still don't think it's clear that that's only referring to payments which are outside of the service concession. What we're trying to do is exclude payments that may be made by the operator to the government in other circumstances than under the service concession arrangement, and I still don't think that wording is quite there.
Wait.
Yeah, so I just think on that point I would be hesitant about going broader in the direction that you're suggesting, John, simply because if we say that it's intended to capture only payments, other payments outside of the service concession, then that would also cover payments made for a separate good or service or a separate right of use, which gets captured later in the agenda decision. So I think all we're trying to capture is those amounts that are simply a flow through from the customer to the government. And if you have any particular drafting suggestions, I'd be more than happy to consider them and include them.
Okay, I'll send some tweaks to you. I mean, I think the wording is better than it was in referring to the operator as an agent. I still think that there's the potential for it to confuse payments being made under the service concession arrangement with other types of payments.
Martin?
I only want to raise my flag for Tony because of the same view that we are potentially in a different scenario, because here we have an obligation really to provide a specific service, and therefore we have more or less a slight different fact pattern and could probably find a solution for it. But I guess I'm one of the minority.
I'm in that minority as well, but I am persuaded that it is a minority. So. Okay, we've been to the phones. I don't see any objection. We do have a couple of wording changes that have been proposed. I think it would be helpful in this circumstance to circulate the revised wording in advance of update. Rather than waiting for update, just so that this is an issue that has been around long enough that we just want to be sure that everybody's on board. So let's circulate those changes in advance. And if there are any significant objections, we will figure out how to deal with it then. Okay, that it for this one?